Luke 10, beginning at verse 38, these are the words of God. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We pray along with the psalmist that you will search us. O God, know our hearts, try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in us, and lead us in the way of everlasting. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's several words you could use maybe to describe our day today. Fast pace would be one of those. Maybe a dash so I can make it one word. Okay, hyphen. So we live in a world that's just very, very much foot on the gas pedal, and everything seems to be flying by us very, very quickly. There's accelerations in technology. There's accelerations even on highways. Back by my parents' house, it was always 45 miles an hour. Now you go past my parents' house, and it's 55 miles per hour. The only thing that's changed is there's more lanes by my parents' house and now more speed by my parents' house as well. Nothing else has really changed. In this world of just fast acceleration, there are many parents, many families who are moving from one thing on to the next. It might be sports related, it might be jobs, moms who are running children to and from work, perhaps, or to and from school, or to and from other events, and hardly seems like they have time at home, and longing for that day when maybe more children have their own driver's license. But then that brings a whole nother stress for moms as well, when more daughters or sons have driver's license, and then they're off driving and moving quickly from thing to thing. So in a lot of ways, that acceleration that we see, this fast-paced life, in some ways, it's fine. In other ways, it's a challenge. But one thing that it brings over as we consider our walk spiritually with the Lord is this, that you and I cannot accelerate growth in godliness. You cannot just, you know, quickly get it done. You know, that sometimes that's my mentality. Like, hey, if I can get this done 5 minutes sooner, that gives me five more minutes for this. When it comes to godliness, that process, that growth in Christ-likeness, in living a life devoted to God, just can't be accelerated. Can't just pedal to the metal, we're there. It happens in the day-to-day mundane things of life, in the day-to-day faithful actions of practicing spiritual disciplines. It happens as you sit at the feet of Jesus and meet with God. For that is our top priority, to be our top priority in life, to meet with God. Here we come to this text in Luke chapter 10, and Jesus enters into a village and enters into the house of Martha. And Martha is the one, we might say, in the church today who is of that 10% who seems to do 90% of the work, right? It's a lot of churches that seems to be the case. There's a small percentage of people who seem to do all the work. She has set her heart on serving her Lord. And that is a good thing, okay? She's not rebuked in this chapter for serving Jesus. So let's not miss or make that assumption. That because of her, she was serving Jesus, she was in the wrong and didn't do well. That wasn't the problem. Martha was there in the kitchen. She was one who was very much hospitable. She was one who had the most honored of guests come to her house of all places. Jesus comes to her house. And so she wants to prepare properly for it. Some of you, raise a show of hands, who's going to have guests at their house on Thanksgiving? Okay. Who's going to be going somewhere to someone else's house for Thanksgiving? Right? And for us with our hands up, we're like, woohoo! Less of the worrisome that comes to those who have people come to their house, okay? And because there's a lot that goes into that. And if you've ever hosted even just any event before at your home, you understand that. There's not just the prep, in this case for Thanksgiving, for the meal, much of which starts tomorrow. That's why we had our service today instead. But much of that prep happens, you know, on Wednesday. And then you have all of the food that you're cooking throughout the course of the day and the cleaning up of the house a little bit, tidying it up. You're going to have some guests here and you're excited to have them. And so you clean up and prepare. Maybe you're having guests, you're staying overnight. So you have bedrooms to prepare for that. And so in many ways, you're preparing for that. Not to mention, before people actually come, you'd kind of like to get cleaned up yourself. So then you got to quickly get a shower in and get some new clothes on that it makes it look like, wow, you cooked in those clothes all day? So you thought. But this is much of the preparation, much of the hospitality that would take place for a Thanksgiving feast, perhaps. And Martha is doing this. Martha is glad to do this. Mary, on the other hand, where is she at? Well, we're told that Martha is distracted with much serving. We'll come back to that. But we find that Martha has a sister named Mary. And Mary comes and sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his teaching. Now, if you look, if you have your Bible still open with me, look earlier into Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 25. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him, that's referring to Jesus, stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay? Mary is in a position of attention. Mary's in a position of submission. She is sitting at the Lord's feet. This lawyer is standing up, speaking to Jesus, just desiring to put him to the test. Mary is there, sitting down, wanting to listen to all that Jesus has to share with her. What we could see here then is this. Martha is busy preparing a feast in the kitchen. Mary is already enjoying a feast as she sits at the Lord's feet, listening to the word of God, capital W, as he teaches Mary and the others who are there in the house with them. Well, what's the problem then? The problem gets stated in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. You can picture this. This is maybe has been you before, right? You're working hard in the kitchen and it seems like, why isn't anybody else? Where is everybody else? I thought I asked someone to maybe help me out in here. And some of you may be the types who are like, stay out of my kitchen. Don't even think about coming in here. Martha evidently wasn't that type. She's distracted and she's upset, okay? What does that distraction lead to? Distraction leads to kind of self-pity. Ugh, I would like to be out there too, but somebody's got to cook the meal. Somebody's got to prepare this feast. It isn't just going to prepare itself. And so she busies herself with it, growing in this self-pity. I can imagine at this point, perhaps she's in the kitchen looking at Mary still sitting there at Jesus' feet and starts banging the dishes a little bit louder. Have you ever done that before? Get somebody's attention out there, like, at least you need to know somebody's working in here, and she's busy serving there, and her self-pity grows, so her discontent, her distractedness grows into self-pity, grows into resentment, because she comes out to Jesus, okay? And this is what she says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister," doesn't even use his name, you know, "has left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me." Well, she just kind of answered the question. She asked the Lord, "Don't you care that my sister's left me to do all this work by myself alone?" Well, of course you care. Therefore, tell her to come help me. But she presumes to speak for Jesus, something that we ought not to ever presume to do unless we are speaking God's word, God's truth. And Jesus doesn't rebuke her for serving in the kitchen, but he says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." All right, lots can be shared here, but let's just highlight in closing, what is that good portion? Right, we want in life to choose the good portion. There are so many options available to us. In many ways, life is kind of like a buffet line. Everything is at your ready disposal. So what are you going to choose? What are you going to select? And how are you going to decide? What's the good portion? What's the better portion? What should I choose? Well, Mary chose the good portion. Mary sat and listen to Jesus teach. Brothers and sisters, our first duty, and indeed it is our highest pleasure in life, is to know God. Right? Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Right? This is our first duty and our highest priority, is to know God. It's not as though service is out the door. Again, she's not rebuked for her service, but for her heart. Right? But what should our service spring from? Our service should spring from sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him, loving him. We should learn and love Jesus, and that will prepare us for our service to him. Again, in this season, as we are coming upon both Thanksgiving and then Christmas, are you going to be busy about all the preparations and distracted with the preparing of a feast that you miss out on feasting by sitting at Jesus' feet? Okay, don't let these times of joyous celebration, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, distract you from our first duty and our highest pleasure, which is to know God. Let's pray together. God and Father, again, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you for just the great joy we have, having your word available to us that we might know you, that we can sit at your feet and listen and feast on the scriptures. We can bow on our knees, literally or even metaphorically, God, to pray to you and to enjoy fellowship and communion with you in prayer. That we can sing out your praises and thanking you for the great God that you are. Lord God, help us to not be distracted this season. Help us not to be pulled away by what are otherwise good things, but Father, when elevated to an unhealthy spot, becomes simply idolatry. And Lord God, this is sin against you, and we, Father, pray against it in our lives. We pray you will forgive us for where it is already present, and lead us, we ask, that we might know you more and more throughout the course of this next season that is upon us. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.